You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again on this Tuesday as myself, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall get ready to break down the Genesis Invitational, a sole event on the tour this week. It's the PGA Tour, of course, and it's a stacked field as well for the Genesis. First of all, a warm welcome along to the man joining me live on Skype today, Dave Tindall. Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to this week. I really am. It should be a superb week of golfing action. And to be honest, I enjoyed last week. I didn't miss the amateurs at all, Dave. At the event in Pebble Beach, I thought it was superb. Did you enjoy last week? Apart from the betting, we missed out with Daniel Berger, who I thought was clutch on Sunday, having made that double bogey on Saturday night, came back well on Sunday, and he talked confidently after that round on Saturday, and that second shot to 18 was just perfectly executed to put the seal on the event in California last week.
Yeah, I'd say it was my favourite ever, Pebble Beach Pro-Am, purely because there was no AMs in it. It was just far more enjoyable, wasn't it, to be honest? Much more coverage of the things you want to see rather than some comedian you've never heard of laughing and cracking some terrible golf joke. So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. A bit frustrating with Daniel Berger, because I said to you off-air, he's the first person I looked at on Monday, and then when DJ pulled out and Berger contracted to, was it 14s or something? Yeah. I just went off him because of that price. So one that got away maybe, but overall a very, very enjoyable event. And as you say, what a shot. What a clutch shot that was to 18.
Superb, fantastic shot into 18. And it was good to have Jordan Spieth in contention again for the second straight week. I thought the best moment was that third shot into 14 on Sunday. Not the best moment for him personally, but the coverage was superb there. The broadcasters were quiet. We heard the conversation between him and Michael Greller working out with the elevation change and the wind into the face. What was the right club? They had a disagreement. Spieth went with his choice and the ball came up short and ended up making bogey there. And that really... That was the moment his chance was gone, and I thought the broadcast was superb. They let the game and the conversation between Greller and Spieth really shine there, and I thought that was a wonderful moment in the broadcast.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yes, it is great to see Spieth up there. I never truly believed he would get it done on Sunday, I must say. I think at the moment, maybe he's got three good rounds in him up until when it really, really counts. So maybe, just getting to this stage a couple of times, I think maybe you're not going to rebuild yourself in one go. So he's kind of established, right, I can be in contention and under the gun and still have it for three rounds. But so maybe next time that he gets in contention, he'll go close. But I never truly thought he would get it done Sunday. I don't know. Did you?
I wasn't as convinced that he wasn't going to get it done as you clearly were. The driving is still a little bit of an issue, isn't it? Even on a layout like Pebble Beach, where you have room to manoeuvre the ball off the tee. I'm not suggesting he's fully back yet, but it's good to have him in contention, isn't it? And hopefully, like you say, next time he gets on a suitable golf course, I'm not sure it's this week at Riviera, but the next time he gets on a suitable golf course, he might well close it out.
Yeah, well, that suitable golf course could be Augusta National, couldn't it? Which is ticking away, isn't it? Not long now.
Have you had any bets for the Masters yet, Dave?
I haven't. I mean, I've just said when it is, but part of my brain just doesn't register that it's that soon, so I've not really had a look.
No, me neither. But Jordan Spieth's price, I think we mentioned it. Did we mention it last week where he's down to like 18, 20, 25 to 1, that sort of range now? Yeah. Jordan Spieth, which is maybe a little bit skinny, needed to be on before the the two good performances back to back, if you wanted a monstrous price on Spieth, I suppose. But he's 33-1 this week. I'll spin you through the betting here with William Hill. The Genesis Invitational, top price guaranteed on the top 10. Plus, we are paying eight places, and with it being an invitational, a reduced field this week as well. So that's fantastic. And Dustin Johnson is back this week. He's 11-2 to win the Genesis. Rory McIlroy 12-1. John Rahm 12-1. Justin Thomas 12-1. Xander Schauffele is 14s. Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Cantlay both 16-1. Brooks Koepka is 22s. Tony Finau 25s. Colin Morikawa. Daniel Berger, Adam Scott, Victor Hovland, all 30-1. Spieth is in there at 33s, alongside Hideki Matsuyama, and it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. And this is one of the most iconic venues on tour, isn't it? And it feels like such a big time event away from the major championships and the WGCs. This is as good a field as you're going to get. And the Genesis has been around for, well, the event being played at the Riviera Country Club, located in California, has been used for almost 100 years, hasn't it? Starting with the LA Open back in the 1920s. And it plays to a par of 71 at 7,322 yards. And that doesn't sound overly long, but the opening hole is a short par 5. Six of the par 4s play over 450 yards. It's a course where it serves you well to hit the long irons accurately. And it's a golf course that you can get after with the driver as well, Dave. No water in play here. The rough is down. And it's a really testing layout for different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I've got down definitely strokes gained approach. I think that's a biggie, what we're looking for. You look at recent champions. But I've also got down you need to drive it well as well. It's not just you can hit it anywhere and then just take your chance with your second shot. You've got to hit good tee shots. You look at the last few winners, again, the strokes gained driving stats are pretty good. So I think, yeah, it's very important what you do from a tee to green, and that involves with the driver too. And then, of course, the Poana greens and Kikuyu fairways as well. It's quite a combination, but it's, of course, I think it takes a bit of learning as well. I've got a stat down here. I think all but one of the last 15 winners had played here at least 5 times. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, so maybe it's not one for the newer guys. You know, there's plenty of young guns who maybe not played here before or played just once. I think they're up against it this week if they want to make an impression with so many established players at the front of the market, not only just being good players, but they've got the course experience too. So wouldn't surprise me if it was quite top heavy in terms of the leaderboard, but maybe there's a few who could make an impression further down. I mean, last year, for example, you got Adam Scott was a classy winner, but you had Sung-hoon Kang getting a share of second place. So there could be some infiltrators into the top, to the each-way places.
Scott Brown finished in that tied second spot last year as well. So, and we have had lots of classy winners of this event down the years, haven't we? Phil Mickelson, Adam Scott has won it a couple of times, as you mentioned, including last year. Bubba Watson, a 3-time winner. DJ won it back in 2017 as well. So, but you've had some real skinners here in the past as well. So it's an intriguing event to work out. And you'll hear the Kikuyu grass mentioned from tee to green on numerous occasions in the broadcast this week. It's a grass that the Australians more accustomed to. And you mentioned those Poana greens, and the 10th at Riviera is always a superb test, whether you decide to lay up on that short par 4 or go for the green. That can catch players out. And you mentioned course experience being, if not a necessity, very welcome this week as well. Two picks for me, Dave Tindall. How many have you got this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with 3 this week.
Is it an event that you like and that you enjoy this event, Dave?
Yeah, I tend to have done quite well in it as a bettor, but maybe not particularly nailing the winner, but I've done quite well with each weigher. So I've got a couple of bigger priced ones as well as an obvious one.
We'll talk through the leading contenders at the top of the market in due course as well, but let's kick it off with your first selection this week, Dave.
Yeah, no kind of awards for originality, but I'm going to go with Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, he's the one that was just left off for me.
Yeah, so he's 16, isn't he, with us, which is joint best price, which is good. Yeah, it's fairly obvious his credentials. If you come at it from a current form point of view, he won the Zozo back in October, 17th at the Masters, 13th at the Tournament of Champions. And then in the last few weeks, second at the American Express, third at Pebble Beach last week. So second and a third in his last two events. Sometimes players kind of hide their credentials away and they don't telegraph a win. But if you look, when he won Memorial, he'd finished third in his both his previous two starts. So it's catching while it's hot. I think that's the message that Patrick Cantlay sends out. He's an LA, he's a California guy, so lots of experience of the course. He's got that kind of requisite five times he's played here thing that I mentioned before. Struggled kind of back in the, what do you call it, of his career, part one of Patrick Cantlay's career before he had the bad back and everything. Missed the cut both times then, but since he's come back as the new Patrick Cantlay, sounds like they've rebuilt him, like a $6 million man or something. But it's the same guy. But since he's come back to prominence, fourth in 2018, 15th 2019, 17th last year. So he's building a nice body of work here. He says he feels comfortable on the course. He's played it more than just these five times. He's played it kind of non-competitively. And I said I liked tee to green and approach. And off the tee. Well, if you look at Pebble Beach last week, third off the tee, second in approach, first tee to green. There was a bit made of his putting that let him down, but it wasn't statistically, it wasn't too bad. He was 16th strokes gained putting. Before that, he was third strokes gained putting at the American Express. So I can't really see there's anything to worry about at all with him. There's no kind of, oh, we'll need to just sharpen up there. I think it's all there for Patrick Cantlay. I suppose the other link I've got is kind of, there's a lot of links here between Riviera and Augusta National in terms of who wins on these courses. You look at Mickelson and Bubba Watson have both won five times across the two events. Mike Weir won Riviera on Augusta National at Augusta National in the same year. And we've seen that done before as well. So the fact that Cantlay, a couple of years ago when Tiger won, he was leading the Masters with about three holes to go, kind of solidifies that link, even though you're kind of reversing it. So every angle I come at, I think Patrick Cantlay should be challenging for the title and hopefully can get it done.
And you think he deserves to be alongside the likes of Xander Schauffele and Bryson DeChambeau at that price at 16 to 1, Dave?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, in terms of Xander Schauffele, I mean, Cantlay won the Zozo five starts ago. When did Schauffele last week?
Yeah, I agree. Schauffele looks just it's bizarre, isn't it, the pricing on Schauffele? He always looks too short in the betting to me.
Yeah, he early on in his career he seemed to be winning, and then people weren't taking enough notice. Now he's stopped winning. He's been collared too much. It's a bit odd, but Cantlay every. I think every right to be alongside Schauffele in the betting should be short, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. He should probably be shorter than Schauffele. I just wonder whether you think he should be the same price as Bryson. I'm not going with Bryson DeChambeau, but there's a case to be made for Bryson this week, isn't there, on the golf course where you can just hit driver off every tee. I know that he kind of, on his jaunt to Saudi Arabia, didn't hit his irons well at all, did he? And that obviously let him down. But I just wondered your thoughts on Bryson at the same price as Cantlay this week.
Yeah, I mean, he was fifth last year, wasn't he, DeChambeau, when he was 15th in 2019. So he's got some course form. But yeah, I watched a fair bit of him at the Saudi, and I don't know, it just seemed too off in too many categories to me to think he's going to start winning soon. I mean, I guess you only need to be a few percent out with his driving, and it's magnified, isn't it, because it's so long, and you start spraying it everywhere. And I do think this is an important off-the-tee course, so I'm just a bit wary of him at the minute.
I'm going with Bubba Watson as my first selection at 40-1. I think it's a nice price about Bubba Watson this week. Three-time winner at Riviera. There's a lot to like. He's shaken off the rust with a miscut of the Farmers and came right back to form with a 22nd place finish in Phoenix, where he picked up a couple of shots off the tee and a couple of shots on approach, which is just fine. He arrives at a golf course that he clearly loves and on greens that he puts really well. Simple formula for me, but his length off the tee is of huge significance here in these classical courses where imagination reigns supreme, play kind of right into his wheelhouse. I could have him at shorter than 40-1 without question, Bubba Watson, this week. And I think each way with the eight places, 40s is a good price on Bubba.
Yeah, I mean, if you just adopt the strategy of backing him where he's won before, you can't go too far wrong, can you, with him? And I do like the fact that he's got that, you know, top 25 under his belt at Phoenix. So yeah, I would go as far as say if I had another pick, it would be Bubba, number four.
Who is your second pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mark Leishman.
Yeah.
Another fairly obvious one. He's got played this tournament every year since 2010, never misses it. Made a good impression on his first ever go-round here when 15th closed with a 65, and you thought, yeah, this is a course that he liked. 17th in 2012, and then more recently, 5th in 2016, 4th in 2019. So he's landed the each-way money twice in the last 5 visits, which is all good. Again, he's someone who's challenged at Augusta National, which was a link I made earlier. Then recent form has been quite nice too, hasn't it? He was a bit all over the shop, and then he finished 13th at the Masters, which was good, and that kind of ended his year on a positive note. And then he's come out this year 24th, bit of a sighter in a tournament of champions, but 3 rounds of 69, that was good. Then an excellent 4th in the Sony Open, somewhere where he's played well before to show he can be a bit of a course horse. Then he was 18th at Riviera at the Farmers Insurance at Torrey Pines. Again, that's another one of his courses. So some nice form from Mark Leishman. He's been in the top 20 in strokes gained approach in his last 3 events. 2 of those were 4th and 8th. So I think if he drives it well, some of his off the tee numbers are a little bit not ideal as far as I'm concerned. But if he can drive it okay, I think he's got every chance because he's putting well again. Gained 4.3 strokes off the strokes gained putting, at Torrey Pines on Poana Greens as well. So I think he's got plenty going for him, Mark Leishman, at 50-1.
Very good, Mark Leishman, 50-1. Aussies have got a good record at this venue, and Leishman at 50-1, Dave's second selection. I'm going to go slightly left field with my second pick. Matt Fitzpatrick is my second selection here at 66-1. I just like this prize for one of the best long iron players in the game who had a win in a big event 3 starts back, because that win came in Europe. He's slightly disrespected here, in my opinion. He's number 20 in the world. And it's interesting to me that he's come over to start his US campaign here. It might be that he comes into his own in Florida, where he's got a better record. But this looks a good setup for him. He's only played here once, but finished 30th on debut. And I think it's a big prize. Scrambles well, Fitzpatrick, puts well, good short game, good long iron player, 30th on debut. I thought 66-1 was a bit insulting for a guy that's 20th in the world.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely think 66. I think if you were trying to pick a word from the pack of kind of, assessing his chances, I think insulting is a good one at 66s. I think he's a lot better than that, isn't he? I think it's an element of, oh, he's an English guy in America that's not the best, but I think he's very underrated there.
And your third selection is?
Yeah, so I'm really going to have a bit of a gamble this week and go for Ches Reavy, our favourite. So looking at some of the things I like about this week, course form, I think you've got to play it a number of times. You've got to have good course form. You've got to have good recent approach figures. And he's ticking all those boxes. And there's not too many down the betting who are, to be honest. And if you look at Ches Reavy in terms of course form, he's played it. Again, he's played it most years since 2008, so he's got lots of good form. He struggled to begin with. Can't get away from that. But 2016, he was 7th. which was an excellent effort. Last year he was 10th, so two top 10s in his last five visits for Chesrevi. Then strokes gained approach, well, suddenly that part of his game was transformed at Pebble Beach. He ranked first in that category, gaining over seven strokes on approach, which was good. He putted well there as well, 14th with the putter. And he started slowly. He started with a 74 and then shot 11 under over the last three rounds. So, but for that kind of iffy first round, he would have got you the place money. So he finished fast, 267s in his two of his three final rounds. I thought it was a really good effort. When you combine that with what he's done at the course, I honestly expected him to be maybe 100 to 1s, 150s. Seems to be ignoring something which I can't quite work out. If you look at his form in California, you've got a third at Pebble Beach in the 2019 US Open, 10th here, third at the Safeway Open at the start of this season, 16th at Pebble last week. Plays well in California, plays this course well, and striking his irons great. So if you're looking for a guy who, you know, maybe in the Scott Brown category, he's not a massive hitter, a bit under the radar, then maybe Chesrevi is your man.
Chesrevi, the selection for Dave's third pick. Let's talk about some of the others at bigger prices that you like, Dave, that just missed your cut. You mentioned Bubba Watson there. Any others you just want to mention before we talk about the top end of the market?
Max Homer, the look at.
Yeah.
He could have a good chance this week. I did look at Fitzpatrick. I think you were right to pick him out as someone. But as far as the very top end, yeah, well, if we get onto those, it's more a question of who you're leaving out, possibly.
Yeah, I think so. It was difficult, wasn't it, to kind of poke holes in any of the leading contenders. I suppose with Dustin Johnson, you can say he was this price when he won in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And this is obviously a much, much stronger field. So 11-2 may be a little bit skinny. And when you consider Bryson was close to Dustin Johnson in the betting for that event, and he's twice the price he was then, and DJ's the same price, from a betting perspective, you can easily ignore Dustin Johnson this week, I think, at 11-2.
Well, you can and you can't, I think, because if you're just going on his ratio of wins, then 11-2 is all right. And if you compare his price to winning the Masters, again, it's in that same wheelhouse, isn't it? He's not just the world number one. He's an outstanding world number one at the minute. He's got just that swagger that he's going to get it done. So, yeah, I'd be wary of him winning this, to be honest. I think he could. Well, I'd be amazed if he's not in the top. If he's not in the top eight. You know, if you fancy an almost each way back to nothing.
What about McIlroy, Rahm and Thomas, all the same price at 12-1?
Yeah, in terms of an order, how would you rank those?
Well, I'd rank them in terms of the ones that I'd want to bet. I'd go Rahm, Thomas, McIlroy in that order. I think Rahm's a little bit overlooked this week. I think McIlroy's too short in the market personally, and I'd have Justin Thomas slotted in between. So my order would be Rahm, Thomas, McIlroy of those three.
Yeah, I don't know if I could just reel it off as fast as you there. I'd have to sort of think, and I'd probably end up swapping them around. I mean, McIlroy, top five the last 2 years here, I think. He knows this is a good course for him. He likes tree-lined courses. He was, never been outside the top 20 in four visits. Fifth at the Masters, third in Abu Dhabi. 16th and 13th in his two starts this year. He did end Phoenix with a 64. Could be a springboard.
Yeah, possibly. But is that 64 out of contention as good as a 64 when you're right in the mix, I suppose? That's the... Playing devil's advocate there, 64 on a Sunday is okay when you've got zero pressure.
Yeah, you could frame it that way. He's obviously driving the ball. His strokes gained off the tee stats are always superb. His approach numbers aren't maybe the best, to be fair. 26 and 28 his last two events, and it's obviously down to the to the putter. How much do you trust him with the putter? I do think it's a course he will win at it during his career, so it's just deciding when. You could argue maybe he's not at his absolute sharpest at the minute. But again, he's someone I just can't see him not being in contention.
I've got to mention Colin Morikawa at 30-1. Did you know that last year he briefly led on Sunday in this event before finishing 26th?
No.
He started 4-under through 4, I think, on Sunday. He opened with a 2-over par on Thursday, and I believe he was 4-over through 9 on Thursday as well. California kid Morikawa didn't play well in the Dubai Desert Classic, but started his season in Hawaii perfectly respectably with a couple of seventh place finishes. He's number 6 in the world in 30-1. I'm not going to pick him this week, but I still don't think he's as respected as he should be, Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, that's all fair comment. I think he was 50-1 last year for this, but obviously now he's a major winner. What about Adam Scott?
I thought he was too short at 30-1, I must admit.
I
preferred Morikawa. And what about Daniel Berger, last week's winner? They're overlooked, aren't they, the guys that win the previous week? But back on Poana, I know he's missed both cuts.
I don't like that. He's only played it twice and he's missed both cuts. I think that's quite a big negative for him.
It's an obvious
negative, but maybe more so than normal.
I just wonder why, though. Why would Berger miss both? Maybe it's a course that just doesn't suit his eye, but I just get the feeling in the last 18 months he's a completely different animal now, isn't he, Daniel Berger?
Yeah, I suppose those two missed cuts were 2016 and 2018.
Exactly.
So it's not like they were the last 2 years of the event, so possibly. Yeah.
I just expect a much improved performance from Berger this week. I think he's one at 30-1 that looks slightly big in the market, given his current form. That's more based on course form, isn't it, definitely?
Yeah, and I guess of those at the front end, you'd be opposing Spieth.
I just don't think this is a great setup for Spieth with where his game is at right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he thinks it's a good course for me either, to be honest. He said before he sort of lacks some patience here. So I think after the last 2 weeks where he had probably felt a bit of freedom, maybe. I think this might feel a bit more hemmed in and a tighter sort of course for him. So, yeah, I think he could be one to oppose.
A couple of others that caught my eye at bigger prices. Carlos Ortiz is in really rock-solid form at the moment. It's been a little bit... the putter's done most of the damage for Carlos Ortiz recently. It's whether or not that's sustainable. But 4 starts at this venue... yet to finish outside the top 30, ninth a couple of years ago. So Carlos Ortiz could be one to have a look at this week. And I've got to mention Cameron Davis because his number, I know he's only had one appearance here and missed the cut a couple of years ago, but his form is just superb in terms of his ball striking. 31st at the Sony, 3rd at the Amex, 32nd at the Farmers, 14th at last week at Pebble Beach. And he's picking up tons of strokes tee to green on each and every outing at the moment. I think there's a big win coming for Cameron Davis.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I just looked at because of the price, the fact that he seemed to be kind of a hipster's choice last week. Francesco Molinari was 25s last week. He's now 100s here, and you think, does he really deserve to quadruple in price? Are people, you know, did you see him top that tee shot off the... The first tee, are people looking at that and thinking, oh, well, he can't play. But obviously before, I mean, he made the cut at Pebble, 50th. But before that, obviously, he was 10th at Torrey Pines, 8th at the American Express, now living over on the West Coast. So this is another short hop for him. So I think you can start to look at Molinari, but then you look at his course form, he's missed 4 of his last 5 cuts here. So I think if it was even modest form, if there's like a 20th in there or something and a 30th, I might think, oh, that 100s could be interesting. But I think there's a lot of negatives in this course form, so maybe it's just not the one for him, even though you're thinking it should be a course for him, but the stats say not.
Was there any love for Cameron Smith at 80-1 with that Masters link you mentioned earlier? He's gone off the boil since the Masters.
Yeah.
And he's been leaking shots on approach recently. Has a sixth-place finish here in the past. And he was really, really popular, wasn't he, then at the end of last year, including when finishing second in the Masters. But now less popular, out to 80-1, Cameron Smith.
Yeah, I must admit, apart from that kind of working back from the Masters angle, he's not really doing enough to get in to anywhere near me picking him this week.
Yeah. Okay, shall we wrap up?
Yep.
Go with your three selections then and the staking plan this week, Dave.
Yeah, so a quite confident pick of Patrick Cantlay. I'll go a point and a half each way at 16s. Then I'll go a point each way, Mark Leishman at 50s. And then half a point each way at 150s, Ches Reavy.
I'll play my two, a point each way, Bubba Watson at 40-1 and Matt Fitzpatrick at 66-1 this week. So five selections for you to have a look at in the Genesis Invitational. Don't forget, at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying eight places each way. So make sure you head to the William Hill website or the app to check that out. Thank you, Dave, for your company.
Thank you. We've got a WGC next week, haven't we?
We have. It's the WGC Mexico being played on US soil, I believe, isn't it?
It's being played at the Concession, a little nod ahead of that. They held a big college event, an NCAA there, between college teams. Do you know who won the individual event there?
Oh, no, but I'm hoping you're going to tell me.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
2015, so there you go, a bit of course form for him ahead of that one.
Looking forward to that next week. It's the Genesis Invitational this week. Follow myself and Dave on Twitter if you wish to do that, at Dave Tyndall Golf and at D Kellner. Good luck with your bets this week. Check out all the markets for the Genesis Invitational at williamhill.com and on the app. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.